As we know, on Lag BaOmer, there is a major focus on Reb Shimon ben Yochai. And very often all over the world, they focus on the mysticism of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. And I figured, you know, maybe we should be the ones to focus on the rest of the Torah of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, which was actual halacha. Reb Shimon ben Yochai was one of the preeminent Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai has many, many passages throughout the Mishnayos and the Gemara where he teaches very, very important halacha. So we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, where the Mishnah says, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Hevi Zahir b'Kriyashma. Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, one has to be very careful that they say Kriyashma, says Rashi. What do you mean you have to be careful that you say Kriyashma? Rashi says, L'kroso be'onaso. You have to make sure to say Kriyashma in its designated time. After all, says Reb Shimon ben Yochai, you only have a certain window of time to perform this mitzvah of Kriyashma. You cannot say Kriyashma all day. You cannot say it 24 hours a day, and therefore he says, since it's limited, we have to make sure that we say it in its proper time. And what we're going to get into here is, I just want to use that as a springboard to get into a very important discussion which focuses on Reb Shimon ben Yochai, but it has very contemporary ramifications. So the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud, Amar Rav Mani, Gadol HaKori Kriyashma Be'onaso Yoser Me'osek BaTorah. We all know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that V'talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Sorry, the Mishnah in Peya that we say every morning in our davening, there's nothing greater than Talmud Torah. V'talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that is considered an equal, a parallel to any mitzvah that you perform. And yet the Gemara says here in Brachos, somebody who says Kriyashma in its proper time is even greater than somebody who learns Torah, which is a striking statement. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi makes a comment about the greatness of saying Kriyashma as well. Tani Rab Meir Omer, Kol mi shekavua be'eretz Yisrael, umedaber b'lashon hakodesh. The Gemara goes on to give a whole list of different items, that if you do this, muvusar shehu ben olam haba, you know for sure that you are a person who is worthy of olam haba. One of the things on that list is hakore kriyashma baboker uba'erev. Somebody who makes sure to say kriyashma in the right time in the morning and in the right time in the evening, you know for sure that you are going to have a place in Olam Haba. So the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Ve'eschanan writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us from the outset we would experience a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Mikan Ve'elech, after you have a Churban Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the opportunity to offer Karbanos. As we all know, there's no Mizbeach and there's no Kedusha V'Tahara. So the Medrash says, Klal Yisrael wants to know, what should we do now? How are we going to survive without Karbanos? Karbanos was a very important part of religious life. So what do we do then, says the Medrash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the way that you are going to make up for the lack of Karbanos is Shema Yisrael Baboker and Shema Yisrael Ba'erev. That is the way that you're going to make sure that you still survive. And Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shah Shehu Mabit Ba'olamo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down on the world and he sees people v'batei tartesios v'batei karkisos, he sees people doing frivolous activity, nothing that's really contributing to the world, rotza l'achriv olamo, God says to himself, I should really destroy the world. Of what good is it to have this world when this is what people are busy with? And the Gemara says that s'chus kriyashma az mechaper. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears that we are saying kriyashma, that is really the saving grace for the entire world. So it's very important to say kriyashma. And this is really the beginning of this conversation is from Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Because Reb Shimon ben Yochai says in Pirkei Avos, Hevi Zahir b'Kriyashma, one has to be very careful. In fact, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Tesvav, that somebody who is medakdek ba'osi yoseha, you'll notice, there are people who say Kriyashma, when it comes to the rest of davening, they say the words very quickly. All of a sudden it comes to Kriyashma, people slow it down a little bit. Everyone on their own level. Some people slow down a lot, some people slow down a little bit, but everybody seems to say Kriyashma a little bit more carefully than they would say the rest of the words of davening. Why? Because it's based on a Gemara Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara tells us, if someone is Kore Kriyashma umedakdek ba'osi yoseha, and you are careful to mention every word properly, says the Gemara, mitzanin in lo gehenim. Says the Gemara, they will cool off gehenim for you if you were careful to say the words of Kriyashma very slowly, and make sure that you enunciate every single word the proper way that it's supposed to be said. So the Noda B'Yehuda has a commentary on Maseches Brachos. Ask the Noda B'Yehuda, I don't understand. If the guy is such a tzaddik, he's not going to be anywhere near Gehenim anyway, so he doesn't need this trick. And if he's not a tzaddik, you're going to tell me that just by saying Kriyashma every day, so he can go be eating on Yom Kippur, and he can violate all the averus in the Torah, he can be a Mechal Shabbos, and he can do everything in the world, and then as long as he says Kriya Shema every day, they're going to cool off Gehenim for him? Really? Does that trick work? So the Nodi Behuda tries to figure out exactly what does it mean when we say that if a person says Kriya Shema carefully, that Gehenim is going to be a little bit easier for them. But be it as it may, that's the question, I'm sorry, that's the comment of the Gemara, which once again seems to tell us that Kriya Shema is something that has a very important place in our daily avoda and our tefillah every day. Now you look at a Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph, and as I said, I just walked in this minute from a Pidyon HaBen, so I didn't have a chance to make copies of anything, so you'll just listen carefully. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph that when we talk about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, it's not exactly clear whether we're even describing a mitzvah midaraisa or a mitzvah midarabanan, which sounds to us like a very surprising statement. Don't we know we have a pasuk that says, B'shach b'cha v'kumecha? So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says, well, we're not exactly sure, is Kriya Shema mitzvah daraisa, is Kriya Shema mitzvah midarabanan? The Gemara has a huge machlokas about this, and therefore the Gemara says, perhaps, safek kare Kriya Shema, safek lo kara. Let's say a person is not sure, did I say Kriya Shema or did I not? So the Gemara says, it depends. If you believe that it's a mitzvah midaraisa, then safek daraisa l'chumra, you have to repeat Kriya Shema, just like you would have to repeat any mitzvah daraisa that you weren't sure if you fulfilled. If you hold it's only a mitzvah midarabanan, the binding principle always is safek darabanan l'kula. So the Gemara says that this is what it's dependent on, whether Kriya Shema is daraisa or Kriya Shema is only midarabanan. And the Gemara does not really come to a conclusion, but the Rishonim basically all say, not everybody, but basically most of the Gedolei HaRishonim say that we paskin that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah midaraisa. Even though the Achronim say it seems to be against the Klalei HaPsak, if you look at who has which opinion in the Gemara, we really should have said that Kriya Shema is only derabanan, but we assume that Kriya Shema is an absolute chiyuv, it's a mitzvah midaraisa that all of us have an obligation to fulfill every morning and every evening. And as Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, make sure that you say it in the proper time. B'shach b'cha uv'kumecha, you cannot have the whole day to say Kriya Shema. You have a very limited time when Kriya Shema is able to be recited. So says the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema, mitzvah saseh likro Kriya Shema pa'amayim b'yom. The Rambam writes very clearly that there's a mitzvah saseh, it's obviously a mitzvah midaraisa as he categorizes it, to say Kriya Shema every morning and every evening as it says in the pasuk, b'shach b'cha uv'kumecha. Then the Rambam says, what is part of that obligation? What do I have to say? So the Rambam writes, Shlosha Parshios, you have to say Shema v'hayam Shamoa and Vayomer, and then he goes into an interpretation as to why we put one paragraph in front of the other, but basically what you see from the Rambam is, this is an absolute chiyuv midaraisa, it's a biblical obligation that we all have to say Kriya Shema every day, every morning, as well as every evening. So now we get to a Mishnah Maseches Shabbos on Daf Tes. And there the Mishnah says the following, Lo yeshev adam lefnei hasapor samach lemincha ad sheyispalel. The Mishnah says, if a person needs to go get a haircut, let's say tomorrow we're all going to get haircuts, we've been waiting for 33 days to get a haircut, now it's already time to get one, says the Shulchan Aruch. So now, I go to the barber. And I want to go to the barber in the morning before there's going to be any lines. So says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do that when it's already time to do a mitzvah. You can't do it before you daven. Why? Because we're concerned that the line is going to get longer and longer, and maybe your haircut's going to take longer, and something's going to happen, and you're going to get so distracted, you're going to forget about the davening, you're going to forget about the mitzvah that you have to do. That's what the Mishnah says. Whenever you have a mitzvah that you need to do, you're not allowed to be involved in anything else, because the first priority needs to be to take care of the mitzvah that I have in front of me. V'im hischilu. What if I got the haircut before the zman of the mitzvah? So I go tomorrow at 12 o'clock in the afternoon to get my haircut. Happens to be, the time for mincha is not until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's way before the zman. So what are you going to tell me? I'm not allowed to do anything the whole day because soon there's going to be a zman mincha that I'm going to have to worry about? No. Says the Gemara, im ischilu, eim afsikin. If you already started to take the haircut, and now the clock strikes 1, and now I have a chiv to daven mincha, you don't tell a person to stop getting the haircut in the middle. You tell them to finish doing whatever they're doing, and they have a right to daven mincha afterward. Now, says the Gemara, mafsikin le Kriya Shema, ve'ein mafsikin le tefila. You have to make sure that you stop whatever you're doing, the haircut or whatever else you're busy with, you have to stop in order to say Kriya Shema, but you do not have an obligation to stop in order to daven. So this is very interesting. Take, for example, I'm a businessman, and I'm working in the office, and I'm in the middle of meeting with clients, and it's the middle of the day, in a winter, when I only have a very limited amount of time to daven mincha. Well, if you read this Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? Mapsikin, you have to stop whatever you're doing in order to say Kriya Shema. Why? Because Kriya Shema is daraisa. But ein mapsikin the tefillah. For Shmona Esrei, okay, Shmona Esrei is only derabanan. Mincha is only derabanan. Therefore, you have a right to say that you're allowed to keep doing whatever you're doing and you don't have to stop to daven. Says the Gemara, really? Are you joking? You're going to tell me I'm allowed to sit at work all afternoon, meet with clients, make money, and just skip mincha? Ein mapsikin the tefillah, is that really true? Because it's only midirabanan, you don't have to make that a priority, you don't have to daven in the middle of the day, how can that be? So the Gemara qualifies the statement and says, no, this is not a blanket rule that ein mapsikin the tefillah. We're describing here a very unique circumstance. We're describing a very unique individual, and by that person it says that he doesn't have to stop in order to daven Shmona Esrei. Who could such a person be? So either, number one, the Gemara doesn't say this, but it goes without saying, if I am a doctor and I'm involved in life-saving activities, pikuach nefesh, so then obviously you don't stop doing the pikuach nefesh. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't treat this patient now because I got to go daven mincha. You can't do that. You have to look out for the patient. You have to do whatever is necessary to look out for people's lives. But barring that circumstance, which other human being can there be that is a Jew and obligated in mitzvahs, and yet they don't have to make tefillah a priority? They're able to overlook tefillah. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you who we're describing. If you have somebody who is osik b'Torah, you have somebody who's learning in the afternoon, and now it comes time to daven mincha. So do you tell them that they have to stop learning in order to daven mincha? Says the Gemara, no. Even though the businessman has to stop doing whatever he's doing, even though everybody else has to make mincha a priority, when it comes to somebody who's learning, let them keep learning. Let them keep learning. Says the Gemara, really? Haven't you ever heard of a yeshiva that has a minyan for mincha in the afternoon? Every yeshiva davens mincha. So why don't you say, the Gemara says, if we're learning, no reason to stop learning, we can just forget about tefillah. Says the Gemara, no. This is only talking about Kigon, Rav Shimon ben Yochai v'chaveirav. Says the Gemara, the only person who has a right to overlook davening is somebody like Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Why? What was so unique about Rav Shimon ben Yochai? He was Torasan u'Menasan. Rav Shimon ben Yochai didn't waste a second. You never saw him at the coffee machine. You never saw him walking around the block, getting a cigarette, whatever these people do in the middle of the day. You never saw him doing anything else but focused in his learning. That's all he did all day, all night. And therefore, if you are Rav Shimon ben Yochai, then says the Gemara, and you're in the middle of learning, and it comes time to daven mincha, you have a right to overlook the tefillah because it's only midrabanan, and you're engaged totally in the act of learning Torah. But if you're anybody else, come on, a guy in yeshiva is learning in a base medrash, he could be a big masbid, but every few minutes he looks at his phone, every few minutes he goes outside to get a drink, he goes here, he goes there, he talks to his friend. So, for the most part, he's learning, but he's not Torasso Umnaso. He's not a person who is solely focused on the Limud HaTorah, and therefore, says the Gemara, if you are not Rav Shimon ben Yochai, you have no right to use this excuse. You have to make davening a priority, you have to make Kriya Shema a priority. Rav Shimon ben Yochai is the exception to the rule, because he was so focused heavily on his learning, and there was nothing else that got in his way. There was no distraction in his day at all. Okay, Tosus there asks a question. We have an interesting story. That Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havi Yosef Kamei de Rab Zeira. We have a Gemara that Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in the shir of Rab Zeira. So Rab Zeira is standing up in the front of the room. He has a student, a bunch of Talmidim sitting in the room, and he notices in the back of the room, Rabbi Yirmiyah, one of his great Talmidim, starts, you know, getting up from his chair, he starts moving around, looking at his watch, and Rab Zeira keeps looking at him. So what's happening? Everybody else is calm. What's your problem? So he turns to him, and he says, "Havi aski b'shmeitza." They were in the middle of a whatever shear it was, and nagalitz luye v'havi kamisar Rabbi Yirmiyah. He sees Rabbi Yirmiyah is all edgy; he's uncomfortable. So kariyale Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira calls out. He says, "Hey, Rabbi Yirmiyah over there! What's happening? What's the issue?" Meisir ozno mishma Torah gam tfilasa toeva. Somebody who chooses to ignore the learning, his tefillah is not interesting to God either. God doesn't want to hear your tefillah. So what's happening? What, are you getting nervous? It's time to daven mincha? What are you so nervous about? So the Gemara says that Rab Zeira called him out in the middle of the whole shir. Now, what right do Rab Zeira have to embarrass him? I don't know. It's a good question. You have to deal with that separately. But it seems that Rab Zeira had an issue over here that Rabbi Yirmiyah wanted to go daven. So what's the problem? Isn't that normal? It does not make sense. I remember when I used to learn with my father. So my father loves to learn a lot. I was younger. I didn't enjoy learning as much as he did. And we were first married. And sometimes if it was a night that my father didn't have a shiur, so we would learn Second Seder, which started at 3 o'clock. And we'd be in the middle of a sugya, and he would go, his Seder was over at 6:30. He would go 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, he wouldn't even look up. Nothing got in his way, just kept going. And then he would look at his watch, he'd be like, wow, it's 9 o'clock already, maybe we should go. Meanwhile, the whole base medrash has been quiet for like 2.5 hours, not a single sound can be heard, and my wife is waiting outside for the last 2.5 hours, my phone was off, and I'm like trying to get out of there, and my father's nothing doing. So if a person is like that, Reb Shimon Yochai, so Tarasam Nasa is a different story, but if you're like the rest of us, so says Reb Zera, what are you so nervous about? What's the problem? So the question Tosis asks is, what do you mean, what's the problem? Rabbi Yirmiyah was a regular Amora. He was like everybody else. And therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah knows, even if I'm in the middle of learning, I got a daven mincha. So Tosis asks, what's the story here? Why is Rabbi Zera upset at him? Tosis says, no, because Rabbi Zera knew that star Talmud, Rabbi Yirmiyah, was Tarasam Naso. He was like Rabbi Shimon Yochai. And therefore, he says, you don't have to worry. You're sitting here, you're focused, you have nothing to worry about, no reason to go out and daven. However, if it would be somebody else, so then Tosa says you have to stop and make davening a priority. So this is the discussion that they have. Then the Rush writes in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Gimel. Not only do we assume, and this is quoted the Halach and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Peites and Arachayim. Not only do we assume that somebody who learns and is Torasa Umnaso is really focused like Reb Shimon Yochai, not only do we assume that he doesn't have to stop in order to daven, because davening is only Midirabanan, but the Rush writes, someone who's Malameh Torah La'acherim, someone who is teaching Torah and he's responsible for others who are learning Torah, there says the Rush, also he has this special dispensation. He doesn't have to stop. So let's say, I'm giving a shiur, it's time to daven Maariv, everybody else daven, and if I'm going to stop to go daven Maariv with the minyan, nobody else is going to learn. So says the Gemara, says the Rush in that case, Talmud Torah La'acherim is such an important endeavor that even if it means that a person is going to miss davening, they take on the same status as Reb Shimon Yochai. They take on the status of somebody like Taraso Umnaso, and therefore, says the Rush, he doesn't have to stop in order to daven. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, Im haya melamed la'acherim muter. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you're going to be teaching Torah to others, and as a result of whatever schedule you have teaching, you are not going to be able to daven as you should, in such a case, it is mutter. Kivin sha'ashol veres, Dischus harabim davar gadalu, says the Shulchan Aruch, because to teach Torah to a rabbim is a tremendous merit. It's a tremendous schus. V'im lo yilmedu achshav, if you're not going to give the shir as you're supposed to be giving it, yizbadlu v'lo yuchlu lilmod, the people are not going to sit down and learn on their own. They're going to go home. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, the same way that we have a p'tur for Tarasom Nasir of Shimon Yochai, so too we have a p'tur for somebody who is considered to be a Malame Torah La'acherim, and the alternative, if you're going to go home, is that the whole group that's assembled is also going to go home, and they're not going to learn Torah on their own. That is a schus gadol, says the Shulchan Aruch, not to be taken lightly. You have to take that obligation, that responsibility very seriously, and therefore we assume that you are not mechuyev to stop in order to be involved in the tefillah, which is only midrabanan. Yeah.
So such a person who's learning and doesn't stop, and rightfully so, so would he have to, or can he, or should he make tashlumin the next time he dies?
I don't know. That's a great question. Well, I don't know. Didn't think of it. Got to give it some thought. Interesting question. So this is all based on Reb Shimon Yochai. Number one, Reb Shimon Yochai said Kriya Shema is important. Number two, the Gemara says if you are Reb Shimon Yochai, then you're right. Kriya Shema is important and you need to stop whatever you're doing. Even if you're learning Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, you got to stop doing it in order to say Kriya Shema, which is Da'araisa. But for Tefillah, you might not have to go out of your way. You might not have to stop because Tefillah is only Midrabanan. But that's provided that you are either, number one, a Malame Torah La'acherim Deschus Gadalhu, or number two, you are like Reb Shimon Yochai, and you are Torasa Umnaso. So over the last 70 years or so, this concept of Torasa Umnaso resurfaced once again. And that's what I find absolutely fascinating. What do I mean? This is a very contemporary issue that's come up once again now about whether or not the yeshiva boys in Eretz Yisrael have an obligation to go to the army. And basically the crux of the whole issue is, are they Toraso Mnaso? So they borrow this concept of Reb Shimon Yochai Toraso Mnaso, and they said, the same way Reb Shimon Yochai is putter from going to Davin, and he's putter from doing other things that everybody else has an obligation to do because Toraso Mnaso, so too we have the opportunity to say that we can ignore whatever is going on around us. We have no obligation to participate because Toraso Mnaso. So let's go through that a little bit. I find it's a very fascinating sugya. It's not so simple. And this is something that was very heavily debated in Eretz Yisrael by the Gedolei Rashi Yeshivas, by the Gedolei HaRabbanim over the last 70 years. This was a major issue. So the Pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua writes, Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Azemi Picha. Yehoshua ben Nun is warned in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yehoshua. He warns the Jewish people, make sure, don't forget the Torah. You always have to study it. V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. You have an obligation to study both at night and in the morning. L'man tishmar kechala kasivo. How can you know how to keep the Torah if you don't study it? That's obvious. Like the Mishnah Berurah quotes from other Achronim in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. If you've never learned Hilchos Shabbos, how is it possible for you to actually do it properly? You don't even know what to look out for. So here the Pasuk says, you have to make sure to learn the Torah every day and every night, because that's the only way you'll know how to live a real Jewish life. Writes the Rambam, who has an obligation of Liman HaTorah? Who's obligated in the mitzvah of learning? So the Rambam says, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael, every man in Klal Yisrael has an obligation to learn Torah. Bein Ani, Bein Ashir. Doesn't matter what your economic status is, doesn't matter if you have a good job or you're laid off. Bein Shalem Migufo, Bein Bal Yisurim. Doesn't matter if you're healthy, doesn't matter if you're sick. Bein Bachar, Bein Shehu Zaken, Gadol Shetashash Kocho. Doesn't matter if you're young, or perhaps you're very old and you have no energy left. Afilu Ani Amachazer Al Apsachim. Even the gentleman who's going around peddling through the city, collecting a few pennies to find himself some food to eat, he also has an obligation. Va'afilu balisho banim. Even if you have a wife to worry about and children to worry about and they take up a lot of space in your head and a lot of your time, you still have an obligation to commit yourself to Talmud Torah, says the Rambam, because the Pasuk says, V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. Then the Rambam says, Gedolei Chachmi Yisrael, Haya mehem chot ve'etzim u'mehem shoav e'mayim. There were many great Gedolim who had all kinds of jobs. Some of them are chot ve'etzim, some of them were shoav e'mayim, and others, he says, mehem sumim. Some of them were even blind. They couldn't even see. Va'af al pikein hayu oskim b'torah b'yom u'v'layla. Anybody heard of Rabbi Nachum Zemba? Rabbi Nachum Zemba was one of the great Gedolim in Poland, one of the greatest Gaonim that lived before the Holocaust. My father always quotes this story about Rabbi Nachum Zemba, that his father-in-law was a wealthy man, and he paid for his son-in-law. After they got married, he realized that he was a very promising Talmud Chacham, so he paid for him to sit and learn for a couple of years. And after his father-in-law passed away, somebody had to take over the store. He was some teller in a store or something, a teller in a bank or something in a store. I'm not sure exactly what he did. So Rabbi Nachum Zemba went to take the job. And he was one of the greatest Gedolim of the time. Not because he spent his entire day learning Torah. He wasn't able to. He was in business. And yet, he rose to become one of the greatest Gaonim of the period because he applied himself. So here he says, the Rambam writes, this has always been the history of Klal Yisrael. We had people who had all kinds of professions, all kinds of jobs, and they applied themselves and they became great Talmidei Chachamim. So, the Rambam says, if you stop learning at any age, you're going to forget your learning, and you're not going to know how to live as a proper Jew. In fact, the Gemara says, Gedola Talmud Torah Yosem Hatzalas Nefashos. Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Mibinyan Beis Hamikdash. Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Mikibud Avaim. Talmud Torah is considered everything. Talmud Torah is very, very important. Okay, so based on that came this discussion. And it's a very fascinating one, because this all happened in 1948. When was Medinas Yisrael established? 1948. When? Hey Iyar. Right? Hey Iyar, 1948. You said May 6th? They said here it's May 15th. Is that correct? Right? Is that right? May 15th, 1948. But Hey Iyar, that's the Jewish date in the calendar. In Yerushalayim, there was a letter that went out in Vav Nisan. So it was a month before the establishment of the State of Israel. That's when the Melchemet Ha'atzmaut was going on, the War of Independence. And a letter went out from Rabbi Zalman Meltzer and from Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim, And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Harav, he was the student of Rav Kook, the three of them wrote letters that although there's a war going on, and although the Jewish community doesn't know what's going to be, we might all be wiped out by our enemies, but the boys who are learning in yeshiva absolutely cannot volunteer for the army. That's what they wrote in 1948, and this letter was printed in the newspaper on Vav Nisan 1948. They didn't realize, that nobody would have imagined that a month later, they would actually have their own country. So listen to what happens. So they write their own letters, and Rabbi Yisrael Zalman says, Lo l'shloach yad b'bnei ha-yeshivas. He says, don't touch the boys who are learning, tarasa u'mnasam, leave them alone, don't get them involved in all that's going on here, let the soldiers fight the fight, let the boys in yeshiva learn their Torah, and everything will be fine. Then a letter comes out from the Eidah Haredus. So you have on the one hand, Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, who are writing letters, and then you have the Eidah Haredus also has to put out their own letter. So what do they say? They have a bunch of great Talmidei Chacham who sign this letter, and they say, Anu modiim b'zeh agaloi, we want everybody to know our opinion. L'chal elu ha-talmidei chachamim chovshei v'tovshei beis ha-medrash. All those that are sitting seriously and learning Torah, bachurim v'avreichem b'nei ha-yeshivos, we want you to know, shal pi torasenu ha-kdosha, hitzaltanu me-ha-matzav ha-nora asher anu nimtzaim bo Hashem yirachim. The way that we're going to be saved is obviously we can't just rely on miracles, but we need to have boys sitting in yeshiva. That's the only way. Hurak b'schus ha-torah ha-kdosha, v'chol zman shekolo shayakum mitzafzei b'bate k'nesios. When we have people who are davening and learning with sincerity, that is the way that we're going to win against the hands of Esav. Ukvar mufsak gamken shirabanan ein tzrichin etirusa. So they go on to have a whole discussion here that they think that none of them should be involved in this gius, none of them should be involved in this enrollment into the army, and they hope that b'schus tarasenu akdosha asherhi magino umatzil. We know that the Torah always saves, so we hope that the Torah will save us. V'yotzienu Hashem imehera l'ravacha. End of story. We all, the undersigned of the Eidah Haredus, believe Tarasom Naso. We all have this right to evade our enrollment into the army. And in fact, in the beginning, what? How many were there? That's a very interesting point. How many? Do you know how many people got a p'tur? You're right. How many people got a p'tur from Ben Gurion? 400. Ben-Gurion said, okay, you're right, we're going to let the boys in the yeshiva stay out of the army, but there are only 400 boys in yeshiva in the whole country. So he said, okay, we're going to let the 400 of them have a p'tur tarasa menaso, and I assume those 400 boys were very dedicated and very serious. It wasn't in style that everybody went to yeshiva like today. So now, because everybody has to go to yeshiva, otherwise they'll never get a shidduch, so even if you don't belong in yeshiva, so, you know, you sit there anyway, even if you don't really learn and you're not really serious, so it's a whole different conversation now. Now it's not Tarasa Menaso anymore. Now you have a guy who's just using it for his own purpose, so let's go back to the drawing board. Really? Do you belong out? The whole rationale that they came up with why they think you don't have to go is because of Shimon Echai Tarasa Menaso. But that's only if you're really Tarasa Menaso, but what if you're not? What if you're the guy who's walking around the streets, who's getting the coffee, who's doing this, who's doing that? So that's the whole question that was discussed over the last 70 years. And this went back and forth. Different governments wanted to repeal it, and different governments wanted to be stronger, wanted to be better. Anyway, listen what's interesting. What's fascinating is, this letter was printed on Vav Nisan. Aleph Iyar. Aleph Iyar, a letter comes out in response, what? That same year, 1948. 5 days before, and 4 days before, Hakamas HaMedina. So a letter comes out on Aleph Iyar in the Jewish newspaper in Yerushalayim, an open letter to the Eidah Haredus attacking them. And he says, he signs off the letter by writing, this is written by Echad HaRabbanim. He doesn't identify himself. Well, come on, stand behind your letter. Say who you are. What are you so afraid of? Well, you know what he was afraid of. He was afraid. What? Not a shidduch for his daughter. He was afraid they would kill him, right? You've never seen a hafganah in Eretz Yisrael, so if there's something to have a hafganah about, it's this. Who is this Echad HaRabbanim? So they say that this was Rab Zevin. Rab Zevin was a great Talmud Chacham, and Rab Zevin was also a smart man, apparently. So he decided, I feel the need to speak out, I need to say my feelings, and even though Rab Yaakov Moshe Chalap, and even though Rab Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Rab Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, and the whole Eidah Haredus wrote their letters in support of this decision, that we should not have the B'nai HaYeshiva go to the army. But he says, I'm not so convinced. So listen to his letter. This letter is amazing. And that's really what I wanted to photocopy for you. I can send it to anybody who wants it. It's an amazing letter. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but he starts off as follows. Kol hakavod v'chol ha'aratzah l'moranan v'rabanan ga'oni ir ha'kodesh. Oh, with all the respect, you know, he starts off very nicely. I want to give respect to all the great rabbis who signed their letters and everyone's declarations. Aval ha'rishus nitenes lishol. After all, you know, we are allowed to ask a question, are we not? And my question is, yilamdeinu rabbeinu, I'd like you to tell me, my great rabbis, zuminayin lachem. Where did you come up with this idea? Who told you that it's true? Who said that there's a ptur tarasa minaso when we're talking about this issue? Zuminayin lachem shebenei Torah v'tamidei chachamim pturim milihishtatei p'milchemes mitzvah shel ezras Yisrael miyad hatzor hatzorer ha'omed alav lechalosu lehashmido chalila. Says Reb Zevin, and he's careful in the words that he uses. He doesn't say this is a milchemes mitzvah because we're fighting for Eretz Yisrael. This has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. We don't even have a state yet. He didn't dream that in 4 days from then they were going to declare a state. It was crazy what they did. It was a miracle. But Reb Zevin says, forget that. This is not a political question. My question is, if we are fighting because there are Jews whose lives are in jeopardy, Hatzar, Hatzar, Eschem, there are enemies all around us who want to destroy us, you're telling me that anybody has a right to absolve themselves of that obligation? Forget about politics. Forget about the state. This has nothing to do with that. This just has to do with our own lives that are in sakana. So he says, who told you that when we have a melchemes mitzvah like that to protect our people, who said that b'nei ha-yeshiva and talmidei chachamim are p'turim? Chalila, he says. How dare you say such a thing? Zu minayin lachem. Lefarsem b'tzura shal halacha p'suka v'das Torah. Shebenei ha-yeshivas ein lahem lehirashem v'lo lehipakeh v'lo lehisyatze v'lo klum. You write this off like this is just a simple halacha. Like, yes, we convened and we decided this is the halacha and therefore everybody has to listen to us. Who told you such a thing? How do you know that it's true? V'chilo kach shoninu. Don't we know? Shabbatzalas nefesh lo nefashos. When we're talking about one person whose life is in danger on Shabbos, says Reb Zevin, don't we know the halacha is in Yumadav Chavdalid that we have to be mechala Shabbos for them? Not only that, the Gemara says that ein osin dvar malalu ela al yedei gedolei Yisrael v'chacham mehem. What does that mean? When somebody needs some kind of assistance for life-saving activities on Shabbos, you don't send a non-Jew to do it. You don't send a child to do it. Says the Rambam, you send gedolei Yisrael v'chacham mehem. You send the leaders of the community. They need to set the example. So he says, I don't understand. Here we have our entire community. It's not one person whose life is in jeopardy on Shabbos. We have an entire Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, a few thousand people, who are all going to be destroyed. This is not one person, this is thousands of people. And you're telling me that you have a right to walk away when on Shabbos we would say that the Gadol Adar, the Talmud Chacham, has to go be Mechala Shabbos to save the one life. And now you're telling me when thousands of lives are in jeopardy, everybody has a right to walk away and say, it's not my problem? I don't understand. Says Reb Zevin, how can that be? It just doesn't add up. Chi hevdol yesh bein osa shah, whom is batel mi Talmud Torah, enem is batel? Does the Gemara say that when there's an issue of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go because, oh, he's going to have to stop learning? What do you mean he's going to have to stop learning? It's pikuach nefesh. Where are our priorities? Pikuach nefesh is more important than anything else. It's more important than Shabbos, and he says it's certainly more important than Talmud Torah. So writes Reb Zevin, I don't understand the argument. And he says, I don't even know what I'm arguing. Zuminayin lachem, you made it up. We have a Gemara that says, Torasso menasso by Reb Shimon Yochai about being putter from a mitzvah midrabbanan of kriyashma, of tefillah, of shemona esrei, of mincha. What does that have to do with our case here? We have a milchemes mitzvah, pikuach nefesh. People are going to be killed, people are going to die. So what right do you have to tell everybody not to listen? Then he writes, we have a story, on the other hand, we have a story by Milchemes Yericho. What happens there? Yehoshua ben Nun goes out to war. And the Gemara describes how a malach comes to tell off Yehoshua ben Nun that he did something wrong. And Yehoshua ben Nun says, did I do something wrong? Why are you here? He's taken aback. And he says, what do you mean? Emesh bitaltim Torah. Yesterday you were mevatel Torah. Now you're mevatel everyone again. What are you going out to war? Everybody should be learning. So says Reb Zevin, what's going on here? The Malach comes to Yeshua ben Nun and he says, everybody should be learning. What do you mean? We have a war to fight. Mechamez mitzvah. What? I'm sorry? Oh, so he says, he says, if you look carefully, exactly your point. Right, Reb Zevin, it's true that the Malach was upset that Yehoshua ben Nun was mevatel Torah with all the soldiers in the army. But what was his claim against Yehoshua ben Nun? His claim was that at night, when you weren't fighting anyway because there was no light outside, that's when you should have sat down to learn. And he says, that's why I'm coming to have a claim against you. Not because you fought the war during the day, but because at night when you had downtime and you weren't fighting the war, why wasn't anybody learning? Says Reb Zevin, what do you see from there? You see that obviously we're dealing with a group of people who are on a level to learn Torah. And the Malach comes to Yeshua ben Nun and he says, you're forgiven that you went out to war. It's the right thing to take the B'nai Torah out to war as well. In fact, the Gemara says in Masechah Sota that the Jewish army has to consist of great tzaddikim, great talmidei chachamim. If you're a Baal Aveira, says the Gemara, we send you home. Hayariv erach aleivav, says the Gemara. The general of the army stands up before they go out to war and he says, who's afraid? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Everyone's afraid. A soldier is always afraid. He knows he's going into the line of fire. Of course he's going to be afraid. Doesn't mean who's afraid. Says the Gemara, who's afraid? May Aveira shebiyado. General stands up, he says, anybody did an Aveira last night? Anybody did something wrong? You spoke Lashon Hara? Forget it. You go home. My father always says the story every year in the Shir, how in Valashna Yeshiva, or in Radin, I think, they had a number of maskilim who were in the yeshiva at the time. So every year the Purim Spiel used to be making fun of, you know, the maskilim used to run the Purim Spiel, I guess, and they used to make fun of the other Talmidim in the yeshiva and of the traditional way of Torah life. So they made fun of this whole idea that you have an army that's made out of people who are great tzaddikim. So my father always describes how the maskilim got up, and they have like hundreds of people standing up to enroll in the army, and they ask this one, Nu, did you ever do an Aveira? He says, yeah, I missed davening yesterday. I'm saying, okay, go home. Then they say the next one, okay, what about you? He says, you know, I didn't have Kavana during Shemona Esra this morning. Okay, you go home. What about you? I spoke Lashon Hara. You go home. Everyone goes home, and they say the army is left with just the Chafetz Chaim, right? He's the soldier. And the other soldier next to him is like, you know, the Nitziv, whatever, some the Rosh Hashiva of Alajan. It's just two soldiers left. So everybody's laughing hysterically. It's a ridiculous scene. You have hundreds of soldiers want to go to the army, and the only ones you're left with is the Chafetz Chaim, who doesn't know how to shoot a gun, and the Nitziv, who has no idea how to do anything. So apparently the Chafetz Chaim stood up, or the Nitziv, whoever the Rosh Hashiva was, stood up, and he said, you forgot the end of the story. End of the story was that we won the war. Yeah, it's true. The Chafetz Chaim went out with the Nitziv to make a war, but that's what a Mechames Mitzvah is. The Jewish army always has great tzaddikim, and therefore, says Reb Zevin, don't you see from the story there that we have an obligation to do that. V'abzu, klum hatzelas acherim b'vad hu hamedubar shelafaneinu? What do you mean you're talking about saving other people? This is not only about saving other Jews. This is about klum ein kol echad ve'echad me'itanu, be'ein yotze, be'ein hevdel, omed b'fnei sakanas nefashas. What are you saying? I shouldn't go out to war to save somebody else. What about saving yourself? Chayecha kodem l'chayecha ve'echa. Forget everybody else. Let's say you want to say, I'm going to focus on myself because I'm learning. You might not survive. You might not survive, says Reb Zevin. You got to think about yourself. Does that make sense? You want to say that somebody who's learning Torah is not mechuyev to go out for somebody else. Not sure where it comes from, he says, but maybe. But you're going to tell me I'm not mechuyev to look out for my own life? How can Talmud Torah be better than v'chaybahem? We have a mitzvah that we should live by the laws of the Torah. This doesn't make sense. And therefore he says, how are you going to expect other people to do this on your behalf? V'chikachi amida zehu das Torah? Hey, chamatzinu kazos. Says Reb Zevin, I don't understand where this comes from. And he continues to go on and on and on to say that he doesn't understand where this comes from. Then he says, the Gemara says in Baba Basra Dav Zayin, Rabbanan lo tzrichin etirusa. The Gemara says there in the context of a whole sugya, that if you're a great tzaddik, you don't need any protection. God will look after you, no need to worry about anything else. Says Reb Zevin, Ribono shel Olam, klum mutter lismach al hanes b'makom sakanas nefashas mamash? Are you out of your mind? Says Reb Zevin, what are you going to say? Talmidei chachamim ein tzrichin etirusa. Very nice. So, you know what? Let's not have an army, and let's just let all the enemy countries come in, trample all over us, destroy everybody, shoot up every shul, every beis medrash, kill everybody. Oh, talmidei chachamim ein tzrichin etirusa. Ribono shel Olam, says Reb Zevin, what are you talking about? How can you say such a thing? Are you going to say that Rabbanan ein tzrichin shmira? He says, don't you remember v'chevron? Does anybody remember the story that happened just a couple of years ago? What was that, in the 1930s?
29,
the Hebron massacre. So it wasn't so many years before. This is in 48, 20 years later. He says, did everybody forget the massacre in Hebron? And that happened to the boys in the yeshiva. So what do you mean, Rabbanan ein tzrichen et Yerusha? Yeah, we have a Gemara that says that. You have to figure out what the Gemara exactly means. But you can't just say everybody should sit as lame ducks and assume that everything is going to work itself out. And therefore he says, b'metusa minaychu Rabbanan ha-kadoshim. He says, I beg of you, my dear friends, I'm not disclosing who I am, he says, but I beg of you, I'm friendly with all of you. And he was. See, Pesach Frank and all the great Gedolim of the time were his contemporaries. He was friendly with them. He says, my friends, are you telling me that the Rabbanan don't need to be watched? He says, look out for yourselves. You need Nitirusa. You need to be watched over. Somebody needs to protect you. Hareheim osam ha'oivim ha'aravim shepar v'ratzchuaz, those same murderers who killed our brothers in Hebron 20 years ago, are the same people that are going to come and do it again. And therefore he says, I can't understand how this is going to be implemented, and I really don't understand how you can draw a parallel from what was in the days of the Gemara to Rasom Nasa Reb Shimon Yochai. How can that be the situation of today that we're going to allow this to happen? That is the short of what he writes. And in the end he says, Das Torah, hinehi pshuta uberura. V'hazarez harezeh meshubach ve'en tzarech lito rishus mi'beizdin. Ki Hashem alokechem ha'oleichim achem lehilachim lachem imoy ve'chem lehoshiaschem. And he signs off, Echad harabanim, signs it on Rosh Chodesh Iyar Tafshin Ches. That was 4 days before the state of Israel was established. He never knew what was about to come. Tafshin Ches is 1948. It's an amazing piece of history. And the real thing begins. It's referred to in the Israeli discussion that they have every couple of years in the government, whether they should repeal the law or they should change it or it should be the same. It's called Tarasom Naso. That's what it's called. Because originally when this started with the 400 exemptions, it was those very serious 400 Talmidim who were going to stay back from the army, and their job really was to learn Torah all the time. So the Gemara says about Reb Shimon Yochai, the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Hei. We have one pasuk that says, V'yasafta deganecha. We'll close with this. The Torah says, V'yasafta deganecha. On the other hand, it says, Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah zemi picha. You have to learn Torah all the time. So the Gemara says, what should I do? Asafta deganecha means I have to make a parnasa. Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah zemi picha means I have to learn Torah all the time. So what should it be? So says the Gemara, this was a machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel said, Hanig bahem min ha-di'arach eretz. You have to make a parnasa, and whenever you don't have anything that's taking your time toward your parnasa, you have to dedicate the rest of your time to learning Torah. You have to make a balance, like everything else in life. You have to make a trade-off. But everybody needs to make a parnasa. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Yochai said, what do you mean? Everyone's going to go work? Torah matah aleh. Says the Gemara, Torah matah aleh. What's going to be? No one's going to learn Torah. We're not going to have any Tamina Chacham. How can it be? So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Yochai stood firmly by his opinion, Torah only. And Rabbi Shmuel said, no, that's not the answer. You have to balance Torah with Ve'asafta deganecha. You have to make a certain kind of equation in life to make sure you're doing responsibly both of these obligations that you have as an adult in the Jewish community. Fine. Says the Gemara in the end, Harbe asuk Reb Shimon Yochai velo al sabiyada. Many people took the approach of Reb Shimon Yochai, Torah only, and it didn't work. So the Achrona Mass, I think it's the Chassam Sofer. Yeah, the Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim in Meseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Hei, he says, Harbe asuk Reb Shimon Yochai velo al sabiyada, of course. What do you think is going to happen? Everybody decides, we're only learning Torah, Torah, Torah. Of course it's not going to work. Who's going to pay for your family to eat? How are you going to pay your mortgage? What's going to be? If you're only learning Torah, of course it's not going to work out. So what are you saying? Does the Gemara mean to say, by the way, there was this great Tana Reb Shimon Yochai who lived in the clouds. He didn't really understand the reality of the world. And he suggested that everybody should go and learn Torah all day long, and that's all they should be busy with. No getting a job. No v'asafta deganecha. And many people tried it, and they failed. Why does the Gemara tell us this? To tell us the foolishness of Reb Shimon Yochai? Is that really what the Gemara means to say? It can't be. Was Reb Shimon Yochai really that unrealistic a person? Did he not live in the world? Did he not understand that people need to make a parnasa? They need to have a job? Answers the Chassam Sofer, no, you're making a mistake. The Gemara doesn't say there were many Reb Shimon Yochais in the world, and it didn't work. If you were Reb Shimon Yochai, and your Torah Som Naso, of course it works. God looks after you. God will take care of you. Harbe Asu Kerab Shim Ben Yochai. There were many people who tried to fake and be like Rav Shimon ben Yochai, even though they weren't holding by that level. And says the Gemara, that's where the challenge was. That's where the problem is. Everybody needs to understand who they are and what the right decision for their life path needs to be. Don't try to be someone else, says the Chasam Sofer. 99% of the world needs to go out and make the balance v'asafta deganecha and learning Torah. You got to make the balance. However you're going to figure it out, we have these obligations and all of us share the obligation. Says the Gemara, even Rav Shimon Yochai agrees to that. Rav Shimon Yochai says, but if you're like me, if you're Torah Som Naso, like the Gemara says, I'm not even mechuyif to say tefillah every day, then in a case like mine, I'll say, spend all of your time invested only in Talmud Torah. Why not? And the Gemara says, the problem here was not that Rav Shimon Yochai had no understanding of the world, but rather the problem was that people didn't understand that they were not Rav Shimon Yochai. That was the problem. And that's why it failed. If you're not holding there, then it's not for you. And that's very much a part of the discussion today as well. Back to this whole Torah Som Naso discussion in Eretz Yisrael, how do you look at it? Well, you're right. If you are really Rav Shimon Yochai, there's what to talk about. The discussion gets off the ground. And even then, Rav Zevin says, I don't fully understand the logic. It's a very rich topic. I think it's very interesting. But outside of that, if you're not Rav Shimon Yochai and you're just trying to be like him, but you know it's really not for you, then certainly this is not a conversation for you. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Harbi asakir Rav Shimon Yochai, v'lo also biyadam. The schus of Rav Shimon Yochai should be megan on all of us. Not only the schus of his mystical Torah, but the schus of his halacha as well. And the fact that he was Torah Som Naso is an opportunity for us to be mechazik all of our Liban Torah, to see that there are people in the world like that who really dedicate themselves every minute of every day to the point that they're so focused on what it is that they're supposed to be accomplishing that they don't even have an obligation sometimes to be involved in the most basic activity that all of us Jews have an obligation to do, such as the mitzvah of davening or many other mitzvahs that come their way, because Torah Som Naso is a very important idea.